don't know if on number we are able to start this meeting. That is the final Monday meeting of the National Land Council of EU, D61B of 2008. I hope we have the final Monday from the province. We have at least seven.
Well, let me say.
Okay, well,
this can't be a final mandate meeting because we haven't concluded the negotiating mandate.
Yeah.
So the notice of the meeting is wrong.
It is wrong. Well, I was looking to the program calculator. So this is not the final mandate. Well, thank you, Honourable Member Watson. I was misled by the secular informant of this meeting. I thought it's the final mandate, but it seems that we still have a negotiating mandate, which implies we have a document before us coming from the department where they refined all the submissions from the provinces, so that we then today agree on the package that has to go back to provinces for final mandate, which implies I will ask the department to talk to this document before us.
Can I sit and write it on another point of order?
Okay.
When the meeting was concluded in Lady Flair, or in Queenstown, the meeting was abruptly adjourned by the chairperson. At that point, we had a list of responses from the department, which did not include the response of Mr. Munson, which was submitted by Western Cape. Before we can go on, we need to know where we are. What is the progress we've made? I'm sorry that you chucked into the deep end because the chairman is not here. But he got up and he said the meeting is adjourned. Now I see a number of proposed amendments. I don't know if that refers to that document or where we are with the document that we had in Queenstown, which you recalled, you yourself said, the way negotiating mandates are done is that we go through the recommendations or the remarks of the department, province by province, and then decide what we agree on or not. So I'd like to know where we are, Chair.
Oh, okay. Well, on the negotiating mandate, the same way my idea is here to include all the amendments and just all of the most significant clause by clause in terms of the amendments that the committee will go back to.
Honourable Benford?
Yeah, Chairperson, I think one would request a copy of the minutes of that meeting. So for that report will then lie down, especially those of us who are not part of that meeting, and clarify for a way forward. That's the first thing. Secondly, it could also assist, I understand from our support staff that if I did not misread you, that these proposed amendments are the ones which were agreed upon on the negotiation meeting. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying that the amendments include the cross-referencing that has been taken in some of the provinces. And the second like adopted a list with these amendments in, including those that are proposed by the provinces. What we should be doing now is the submission of now some of the
this letter from the chairperson before I allow the members to come in.
Okay, because I was sitting on the floor, I'll wait to read that letter and come in.
Oh, it seems this letter comes from the Western Cape to the chairperson of this committee. Dear Mr. Sahu, final mandate, National Land Transport Bill, B61B8. I refer to my telephone conversation with Mr. Freddy Adams on 10 November 08, where he informed me of the National Department's responses on the bill and that we need to submit a final mandate by 12 November 08. The Standing Committee on Finance and Economic Development is in agreement with the proposal of Mr. Manton, and it should be regarded as part of the committee's recommendation. The committee did not consider the submission made by the Provincial Department of Transport and Public Works and recommended that it be referred to the National Department of Transport for consideration. Due to our parliamentary program, the Standing Committee will not be able to meet, and it will not be possible for the Western Cape to give a final mandate by 12 November 2008. Yours sincerely, Brainard. This is the letter. I don't know whether that it throws any light to the queries brought forward by the members. I so end again my point. Honorable Venfour, Honorable Adams, Honorable Gulani, Honorable Sotesi. Is it correct, please?
Yes, yes, yes.
Sotesi. In that order, honorable members.
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson. I think we've got, if not mistaken, 8 provinces which have submitted final mandates. My assumption is that those final mandates are based on the responses they got after the negotiating mandate. Am I still protected? Yeah, because I was putting it in simple English to say my assumption is that I don't know whether should I put it in Zulu. It's there. Yeah. But the thing is that we've got this final mandate, which provinces are basing themselves on something. The other question I asked, it was not properly responded to. I don't know whether the Chancellor of Advisor will come in. Whether this amendment, the responses from the department, were sent to provinces to empower them as they give their final mandate. Because if that's the case, then that we would guide the meeting to take a second route. But if that was done in vacuum of them receiving this, then it might lead us to take a second process. I fully understand the predicament of the Western Cape. Provincial legislatures have got different programs. By virtue of the constitution, they are empowered to have their programs and so on. And in any event, if they didn't have much time, if it's possible for us to extend, we do make that decision. Given also the time frame of our program in particular, and in other instances where it's not possible, we have taken some of those unfortunate decision. Western Cape will not. I remember I said Cape at some other particular point in time couldn't come back with the final mandate. But also the issue of the minutes, the records of this meeting will guide us so that we don't respond to issues on our recollection. Thank you.
Okay. I'm going to remember, it seems that we have this stage, we don't have the minutes, unfortunately, I learned from the Committee Secretary. The order I indicated is with Honorable Adams coming in.
Yes, Chair, the reason for the letter was that last week it was decided at the meeting, and I think the proposal was made by Honorable Oliphant that the Western Cape. The proposal was made by Honorable Oliphant that the Western Cape should write a letter to state whether Mr. Manton and the provincial department's submission are accepted or what, and the the committee has accepted Mr. Manton's submission to be made part of the Western Cape negotiating mandate. And we were still under the impression last week that it was negotiating mandate, or that we have a look at the submission before we proceed to the final mandate.
Thank you very much. Another one.
Thank you, Chair. According to my province, they did get the submissions that we're talking about in the last meeting in Malahleni. I'm still remembering saying in the meeting that I cannot respond just because, according to my understanding, the submissions which we did spoken about, they were supposed to be referred to our provinces. I did communicate with my province, so they were aware of the responses which was given to Eastern Cape by the department. That's why today they told me that they will be sending a final mandate based on what they have given by the department, the responses. So my province, I'm sure it's correct, it did give me a final mandate today.
Yeah, Chair, we move to the concern raised by Honorable Watson that the meeting didn't conclude on the matter of Mr. Manton. But I remember as a personal fact of that meeting is that it was said provinces respond as provinces, not as not a committee individuals of the public members. But as ever, Mr. Manton has said, should have been incorporated in the mandate of the province.
The process concluded, and the other part was pointed to by Honorable Oliphant, who was here. I just going to discuss last year's meeting. I can't see here to say something. Thank you very much. You know, in my mind, when we were in Malahleni, we did not conclude the negotiating mandate. And therefore, if the negotiating mandates are not being concluded, you don't have any package to forward to the provinces for their final mandate. That is my understanding. But if there's any package that was forwarded to provinces, it was an incomplete package that is misleading the provinces. This is my worry, unless somebody corrects my understanding. And therefore, because we could not conclude in Malahleni, probably today we're supposed to conclude and have a complete package that we forward to provinces for the final mandate. It's exactly like what was happening yesterday in the Environmental Affairs and Tourism. I hope they don't forward any incomplete package to provinces because we have not concluded yet. Next Tuesday we'll be concluding that package to be forwarded to provinces. May the department maybe come in before you come in, Honorable.
Yeah,
there's something I'm picking up. You know, when you were speaking about machines, I thought you were referring to the MEC of the Western Cape. Because I think there's a procedural flaw. The negotiating mandate should come from the provincial legislature.
Yeah.
You can't have a certain input piggybacking. Or on Pumalama, for example, negotiating mandate, then there is another separate one by Mr. Van Paul. I don't know what I'm misreading, the way I'm getting the information now.
Mm-hmm.
Because if that was the case, then I think there's a procedural flaw. How do you relate that, whether it's an organization and so on, it must make its input in the provincial legislature. Then the legislature, the collective, will submit to the policy.
So you can't have it in a very important way.
In fact, what you're saying, I think, is correct. The Western Cape cannot write a letter to us and say Mr. Senso forms package of the Western Cape. They should reformulate and make it one thing. Then it becomes much more acceptable, but it still we seem to be laboring what we labored when we were in Malachi, that we have two submissions, you know, coming from the province, and which was created difficulty for the committee. But after Malachi, if that really makes package of the Western Cape, they should have made it to be one. We don't hear about a certain somebody, but this is the package of the Western Cape. That's the honorable.
Okay, I think we must just put the record straight. The fact is that there are minutes that the members who went at the particular meeting could be informed. But the meeting before Malachi, we were presented with responses from the department on the negotiating mandate submitted by the provinces, among which was a submission from, or rather, not the responses, let me retract. We tabled and read the negotiating mandate of the provinces. In those negotiating mandates, a submission from the Western Cape had attached to it a submission they had received at the public hearing from a Mr. Mumpton. And they then asked the committee to accept that as part of their submission. That was agreed to at that meeting by the whole meeting. At the Malachi meeting, the follow-up meeting, we were presented with a response from the department on each of the provinces. And separately to that, response on Mr. Munson's submission, a response on Tauga's submission, a response on the Western Cape Department of Transport submission. It was then raised by the chairperson that we made a mistake in accepting the attachment of Mr. Munson's submission to the submission for the negotiating mandate of the Western Cape, and it was then, the way I recall it, that the Western Cape should make that part of their submission. In other words, they must take, what is the word that we use? The property of it. That's why that letter now. But that aside, sir, that aside, that is now the mountain of it. That aside, there were submissions from the provinces at the meeting in V227. The response from the department that we got in the Malachi was never concluded. Those responses, I believe, have also been sent to the province. Now, those are responses on the negotiating mandate by the authors of the legislation. They are the authors sitting in front of you. And they responded on their own work that they authored. Now, that can never be accepted as negotiating mandate on which we now have final mandate. So the provinces were misled to believe that those were the submissions from us. They were not. So we are totally, totally, totally in contravention of the regulations of this institution.
Yeah, I am thrown into the deep end because, you know, but let's hear the department, you know. But I think you have a capacity, honorable members, to help us out of this. We should have a way. Let's hear the department.
Chairperson, the meeting last week, in fact, before the meeting that took place on the 4th of November, we had submitted to the Secretariat the responses of the department. That was this document, which we went through on the 4th of November. And that is the document we have in front of us. It's the responses in relation to all of the provincial matters that were referred to us. And we were asked to put forward certain responses. And that is what we had done, and we had actually taken the committee through that process. It includes the responses for each of the provinces, but there were written submissions that were made by each province, and this is the written submission by us. And then it also includes a response from the department to what the Western Cape Department of Transport and Public Works has also raised. It also includes a response to Mr. Munton, and also there was a response in relation to the Tonga submission, which we had received later. So those are the responses that we had received, and we had sent those responses beforehand to the Secretariat, and I believe that was sent to the provinces via the Secretariat. My understanding, and I stand to be corrected, is that the meeting last week said that the provinces need to go back for a final negotiating mandate. I'm not too sure. I really don't know what is the procedure involved in a legislature. But that was my understanding of it. And I tend to be corrected.
Honorable Adam.
If, with your permission and the meeting, my other colleague's permission, the meeting can proceed. I'll just quickly, if I can be excused, just to confirm the chairperson of the standing committee and the chief whip of the province. Because I've engaged with the chairperson and I said to him that we need final mandates by today. As you could see that he has written on his letter that I said we need to submit the final mandate by 12 November. I've explained to him the process that they should take Mr. Munton's submissions and make it part of the Western Cape's negotiating or final mandate. Now, somewhere along the line, Chair, I think that the chairperson didn't word the letter correctly. Or, as you could say, as you hear also, it says, due to our parliamentary program, the standing committee will not be able to meet. And I have explained to him it's a matter of urgency. But they have their annual report also going on there, starting 7 o'clock in the morning. And it will not be possible for the Western Cape to give a final mandate. Now, for the sake of progress of the meeting, I don't want to avail the meeting, but I also just need clarity for him to find out where did he get the mandate to say that they can't meet. Because in terms of what I've spoken with him and the chief of, they were supposed to have a mandate here. And I spoke to him yesterday personally also, and the secretary. So, with the meeting's permission, I'll just go and phone them, if I can be excused for about 5 minutes, while the meeting carries on. With your permission.
Thank you very much. You want to come in?
Chairperson, I believe there's a view which says that Mr. Munton's submission should be taken forward according to the letter that you've received. From the department side, we don't have a problem. If the committee feels that they would like to take that, those matters that Mr. Munton has raised as part of the Western Cape's negotiating mandate.
Yeah, but we don't wear it like that. We don't wear it like that. If it forms part of their package, they should make it part of their package. They should not tell us here to make it part of the package. That is not our duty. That is not the duty of this committee. To club issues together that comes from the province. Province says no, make it one package. That is not our duty. We don't accept it like that. We accept it. They make it one package. They forward it to us. The name of Mr. Munton is not mentioned in the package before us. Honourable members, you will have to help me. Are we dealing with negotiating mandates or the final mandate now? Because as I am listening, we're supposed to be dealing with a final mandate, not a negotiating mandate. Mm-hmm. Whereas I still remember the words of the chairperson of this committee when he was saying we can send it to the provinces to reaffirm the negotiating mandate, a process I am not familiar with. And therefore, that's why that confuses me much more, even deeper. Because as I'm listening to you, we're supposed to be dealing with the final mandate. And I get the impression that the package of Emma Lashane has been forwarded to the provinces. And that's why the progressives have forwarded their final mandate. And therefore, if progressives have forwarded their final mandate, and we correct in terms of the final mandate, I think we should continue with the final mandate than to be dealing with negotiating mandate, something which is quite confusing. Honourable Venture, Honourable Watson.
Yeah, Mr. President, you are correct, because I'm trying to remember, in terms of the rules, where do we have authority of changing final mandate from provinces to the negotiating mandate? You see, for the instance, given a final mandate to state, the final mandate, KNFN itself is not considering a mandate. The former is a final mandate, which is the third province. Pumalanga is final, Northern Cape is final, Northwest is final. So you have got six plus provinces which are sending to you their final mandate. And then how on earth do you change those final mandates to say they are negotiating mandates? Unless we just want to, let's accept there might have been weaknesses, maybe the manner things were handled in the previous meeting and so on. And we must swallow our pride and fight the bullet. Right? Because at the end of the day, you will have to send a communicate from this meeting to say you still are waiting other final mandates from the provinces. And I just imagine what provinces will be expected to be doing and so on. Because already we have got that. Unless you say we want to wait for those who have not yet confessed their final mandate, which one of them is Western Cape, as I have indicated, also KZN. And then also reconcile that with your parliamentary problem. Yeah, the national parliament, whether we will still be in a position to pass this legislation before the end of the year. And that is not promising. It might say we will have to look into it next year, if you still have time to do that before the election. It will, it puts the whole process. That's why I'm saying with the majority of the final mandate we have from the provinces, it empowers us to continue the process.
Honourable Watson.
Chair, I don't want to repeat what I said, but I have in front of me the final mandate from my province of Mpumalanga. I was the one who briefed them. I went through the whole process. I was at all the meetings. Now, my mandate says the committee met on the 31st of October to consider the minutes of the select committee and the Department of Transport's response. After deliberations, the committee supported the bill with the proposed amendment. Now, somewhere along the line, something is wrong, because there were no proposed amendments. The minutes they refer to are the minutes of our previous meeting in B27. The meeting in Mpumalanga was on the 31st of October, before we had our negotiating meeting. Before. So the responses were sent to the provinces before we had our meeting in Mpumalanga. The provinces received those responses as the responses of the Department of Transport before we met for a negotiating man. Now, Chair, I'm telling you that I will not be part of considering the final mandate. I will write to the Speaker of my province and tell them what the process was. If the committee decides to carry on, that's fine, carry on. But I will not accept that this as due process.
Sorry.
Mm.
Honourable
members, as I'm sitting here, acting as a chair, I shouldn't be doing that. Because now I must deal with a problem I cannot be able to. Because even last week in Malate, I was inquisitive to know how is this thing going to unfold from Malate. I was inquisitive. I really very much inquisitive to see how do you go on with that. And therefore, my worry will be to confuse the provinces more, and for the provinces to discover something is wrong coming from the NCOP. I am very, very much sorry. It becomes very difficult unless now
you know, the understanding usually is not the same. If we have not concluded the negotiating mandate, no package can go to the provinces. No package. What do you send to the provinces? You know, you don't work like that. How would you send something incomplete to the provinces for the provinces to do what? It doesn't work like that. You know, I am in the deep end. You must help me. Honorable Venture.
Maybe it might help us to adjust us for a few minutes. We address the topic of the minutes. Because I can't also understand why we don't have minutes. Meeting of the parliamentary committee. It's not a meeting of a street committee somewhere under a tree in the Kunduz. And so on. We need those records here. And now before we proceed, so that they guide us, what should we take? Second, the copies of what was sent and when to provinces. Because provinces can't just be sitting at Sangomas and decide to send final mandate. There must have been correspondence to say, to be dealing with final mandates on the 12th. You see, so that we see how we set our house straight and so on. We can't be just sitting around and so on, not knowing what we should be doing. Then after that, we'll know and so on. Because then we need also to consult with our procedural staff here in the NCOP. Inside the predicament, what do we do so that we don't mess up things more? Because I'm not blaming the people who were at meeting of the 12th, but I'm getting mixed signals. And this, you know, we came out of that meeting not on the same way.
Yes. I agree with Honorable Vosper, but just also while we're doing that, I would like to know the document that was given to us yesterday by email. Is this proposed amendment? What informs this document? Where on what basis were these amendments considered if the analysis of the provinces was sent to the provinces, and now we have final mandates accepting them, and we have a list of proposed amendments. What informed this? This committee never agreed on one amendment, not even one. Honorable von der Leyen proposed that at least let's take the one on which the provinces agreed, the department agreed with the province, and extract that, but even that didn't take place. So I agree, we can't go on.
Thank you, Chairperson. I wanted to check with the committee members who were present in the department. My understanding, when we were there, each province was given submission of the responses of each province that they raised. And then when we were about to finish by Western Cape, the problem that we were having, the responses of the province called Western Cape were confusing us, saying that we were expecting a response of the province itself, not a response of the individual. So I'm saying I don't see that we didn't have anything from our provinces, subject to correction. I'm saying I wanted to check, what are we saying now? Just because the problem started in the responses of the Western Cape, and then were said in that meeting. I'm still remembering myself. It was if it was we had answered that with other permanent delegates, I said I cannot respond on the responses of the department to my province. And then the table there, the chairperson and the secretary, they've assured us that those responses which were based on taking a final decision, they've been sent to our provinces. Immediately after that, I've phoned my province and I've told them that we went as so far. The problem was the formulation of the responses of the Western Cape. So I'm thinking that my province did take responses of all the provinces, including this one, which was, we're not happy about it, So I'm thinking that provinces are not here to tell us, but they've communicated us. My understanding is that we didn't have the crisis in the community. The crisis, which was not created by Comrade Adams, it was created by e-province, not incorporating the individual submission in a negotiating mandate. So we're stuck there. So I wanted to check, we were not supposed, our province were not supposed to respond on the responses of the provinces, of the 8 provinces which was given by department then. If we can be fair, discuss, I'm not giving a ruling. I wanted to check where is the problem now. What was our province supposed to do? Just because we were stuck in a question of one province. So I wanted to be clear in order that when I'm responding to my province, if we're taking decision that we don't take the final money, I must be clear what we're talking about here.
Yeah, in fact, we can stuck because of one or two provinces if we do our work. If we understand what we're doing, if we collate, even if there are 4 provinces that cannot join the stream, we go ahead because we're collating. And therefore the Western Cape could not, hold us not to continue. If it is the Western Cape only, why waiting for them? We don't wait for them, we move on because we are collating. And therefore, and that's why I said I'm inquisitive to see what we are doing. And therefore my worry is the package that was forwarded to the provinces, this committee agreed upon, then we are entitled to deal with the final mandate. Unless if we are saying, and that's why I'm calling again an example of yesterday, I hope there won't be any confusion. No package sent to the provinces because we have not concluded the negotiating mandate. Nobody sends anything to the provinces until next week Tuesday. After we have agreed on each province, it's done that our package is complete to be forwarded to the provinces. But now here I cannot understand, I cannot get the tail and the head very well. What was forward, I think what Honorable Member Venful proposed, let us again now for some time and get to this issues and see. Because I don't know whether what was sent is it correct or what. We cannot be held, hostage by Western Cape. Not at all. The Western Cape has no problem. If there's a delay on their side, we cannot wait for them to see that. But we cannot blame the Western Cape and say, because of the Western Cape, no, it is not the Western Cape. It is our own procedure. Let's hear Honorable Walifan.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I don't want to get a clarity from the department. What my assumption was that when we had the meeting in Queenstown, it was reported that the responses from the department were sent to provinces, of which those responses were based on the proposed amendments by provinces. And the whole package, including the proposed amendment from different provinces, were sent to provinces. And then if those responses by the department were sent to the provinces before we met at Emalahleni, and therefore provinces had taken a decision to go through the proposed amendments from various provinces and also considered the responses by the department, of which the provinces has a right to come up with a final mandate. Because they wanted the clarities from the department, they were proposed amendments from various provinces, of which if the provinces agreed on those proposed amendments, particularly from various provinces, therefore they have to come with the final mandate, of which I assume most of the provinces have taken decisions based on that. Thank you.
Honorable Chairperson, the
problem here is that this package is not supposed to be distributed, to be distributed in this meeting before we take a final mandate as the committee. The proposed amendment, whether it was done by the legal advisor or whoever, it should be based on the final decisions by the provinces out of the meeting for today. So the reason why I think the members are concerned is the way the other document was tabled in this meeting in a sort of also proposed amendment, sort of like this one. And we're not going to allow this document today to take this course up until we take the final decisions by the provinces and put down as their final minute, not this one. Thank you.
I'm getting more confused. My understanding what we have decided in the Kunta is correct what the Honorable Zibani said. Up to a certain state, we were going through the responses of the department to the responses from the provinces until we got to the Western province, and that is where the problem started. But at no stage before and after that have we negotiated or agreed to any of the
exactly.
Not one. I made a suggestion there where I said, let's at least take those out where the department agrees with the province as part of what we have, as the committee also agreed. But we never agreed to on one single submission made by the province. So the question is, what was said to the province? That is, and I think the Honourable Winthrop has raised that issue. This document is a very suspicious document.
Very suspicious document.
Exactly. Where does this come from now? We never negotiated on this document. There's complete confusion. The process that we followed was wrong in the first place. We cannot deal today with the final mandate if we as a committee haven't even dealt with the negotiating mandate. What are we doing
next? Chair, on a point of order. I made a proposal, I thought it was seconded.
Yeah.
So that we will try to move and progress rather than just moving in seconds. Let we get the court of the minutes, which will guide us on things to agree upon and those which we didn't agree upon. And secondly, the copy of what was sent to provinces and what Congress which is raising and also Congress Minister. It should also indicate at what date were those documents sent, because that's what it's not a comrade, Honorable was being raised. Because some of the meetings of the provinces give an indication that they took place prior to the Emalahleni meeting. Because I think once we get those documents, they will then clarify to us and, you know, say to us where do we stand and how do we proceed and so on. I think we can allow ourselves a few minutes just to get that information. Then after that, we proceed. Because this one is also handwritten received yesterday at 4. So which says it couldn't have gone to provinces if it was received by the committee yesterday at 4. Then you can't say the final mandates are based on this document. Unless I'm wrong, provinces might have received it a month ago, it's only us who are getting it yesterday. I don't know, but those things would have to be clarified.
Well,
I have
to say something. Let's hear, because
this document I think earlier, and then I also said goodbye to use those proposed amendments prepare something for the committee so that they can do a clause by clause in terms of the amendment or proposed amendments agreed to by the committee. It's not anything in the negotiating mandate regarding the cross-referencing, and I think it's included in the decision advisor said that they will respond to all these. It's not the same list that was distributed earlier with our negotiating mandate meeting. This one, they made changes to it later and it came at 4 o'clock to me, and that's why it did not go to the provinces. It came to this meeting this morning.
Which implies what he's saying, he agrees that we have never done clause by clause. So there's no package that was forwarded to the provinces. And therefore, it's imperative that we look into what was sent to the provinces. Do you have some light to throw in, Mr. President?
Yes, sir. I'm Mr.
Keita,
State Coordinator. I don't want to extend this document. The document that is labeled as a suspicious document. That document is not a suspicious one. It's a document I had prepared yesterday as per the request of the secretary to assist the committee when it goes through the bill on a clause-by-clause basis. It is not a final document. It's a working document that is meant to assist the committee members when they go through the bill itself. And I have also sent an email explaining that document, which I want to place on record. The email says, "Dear Claudine and others," because I had CC'd the department so that we are on the same page when we go through the bill today. Further to your request for a draft amendment list, which the members should have when deliberating on the bill tomorrow, which is today, I attach here to a copy thereof. The amendments are to settle the cross-referencing, correct a few typographical errors, and incorporate amendments which the department is prepared to make after considering the negotiating mandate. This list will be ventilated tomorrow during the meeting to ensure which one in the amendment is the committee prepared to accept. This document will be amended as we go through the bill clause by clause when necessary. I hope that this will assist the members in preparing for the meeting. This is not a final document, it's just an outline to assist the committee when they go through the bill and to try to save some time, because as we go, the members will be the ones. The decision is theirs. That's why I'm saying that document is not binding, because if the members say we don't agree with whatever proposed amendment is there, it will be taken out. So it mustn't be read as a document that is binding to members. It's just to assist the members. That is what is meant by the document. And the state law advisor prepared the document on request of the committee section, which wanted to save some time. Thanks, sir.
Yeah, in fact, the mistake lies with the person who has forwarded the package to the province. Even if we get into those documents, it won't assist us, because the members here know that we have never agreed on the proposal from the provinces. And if we did not agree, even if we go into those documents that we have forwarded, they won't help us. A mistake has occurred already in our procedures. And the question is, how do we rectify that? And when it was said in Malate that we can have two negotiating mandates for flowing from provinces, I said to myself, this is much to be desired, because you cannot have something like that. But here it is now with us, where we have to apologize to the provinces because we have misled the provinces. How are we going to rectify this? I don't know. Are you still saying we should adjourn?
Chairperson, I didn't hear any formal objection.
Okay.
So that's second.
Let us adjourn and see what comes out of it. How long do you adjourn? 15 minutes? Yeah, we just get a minute, we get the correspondence which was sent to COVID. Yeah, obviously, if the package was forwarded to the provinces, they should have been minutes forwarded to the provinces. If we don't have minutes, then there's a problem. If minutes were not forwarded with the package, then there's a serious problem.
Yeah, because
let's check on that.
As I said earlier on, Chair, you see, provinces can't just out of their own decide to say we must send final mandate based on what? Because there must be something which has been sent to provinces. I think that's what the meeting wants. That's why even Western State is apologizing to say, due to our tight problem, we can't make it to the deadline of the 12th. There is something which was sent to provinces to say,
We have our own community members. Whenever they would.
What I'm asking, even if now we're saying that, you know, it was wrong, but if the people are coming next Wednesday, the progress will be having the same one and Monday. As a technical, we must agree that the negotiating processes were flawed, but unfortunately, flawed as they are, the progress will continue to get the report from the department. What do you expect?
Chairperson, may I propose we reconvene?
Okay, okay, but the secretary is not here. He's trying to collect the document.
Is it not in the system?
We can reconvene and just discuss. The secretary is not here. He's trying to bring the document.
The one which has sent to COVID. And the minute.
And the minute is the way.
The word manager of the previous meeting was my problem says they considered the comments and the minutes.
So they were
the minutes of that meeting, but where's the minutes of the board? They were not there.
Yeah, well, maybe we should reconvene and discuss, because for me, those documents, you see, if you can bring those documents, those documents cannot help us. My understanding is, if you bring it, it will still not help us. But we must agree what we do now, because we have not gone province by province yet. We only laid the package for province. That's where we should start, and maybe apologize to the province.
Yeah, Chair, I thought once we are convened formally, I'll also make a formal proposal to be considered by the whole police. Because I think somewhere where it is low and we're overtaken by events, that's why probably it's a kind of on our side. But we will raise those issues once we continue, once the session has been
set.
I'm not going to be able to do that.
Yeah.
I think this will bring that image.
Yeah. Some Bangladesh team. I think yes.
South Africa versus the southeasterly wind. Southeasterly
wind.
Yeah.
Blowing wind that blows no good.
Yes. No, that's all. No, 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 Thank you. And what happened to you down here?
Probably so.
The province asked that the provision must be made for temporary operating licenses because the process to get the operating license takes too long. The response is that there is provision for temporary licenses for special events. The request was not for special events, was for temporary license while waiting for the license. So the response is a different response. The response is about special events and not temporary license while waiting the license.
Chairperson, if you read the second part of the response, okay, I'll read the full response. Clause 60 of the bill allows for temporary operating licenses for special events if the operator already holds a permit or operating license. Temporary permits for operators who have not yet been screened by the relevant entity cannot be allowed because the public needs to be protected, meaning that you first need to be having a proper operating license before you can actually obtain a temporary operating license. The idea, Chairperson, is that it's a temporary operating license cannot be just issued to just anybody, because the first stage is that anybody who obtains an operating license has to be screened whether they are fit and proper to be running that kind of operation. It's a public transport service. It's a movement of people. It's not really a movement of cattle.
You got it, Honourable Member. Okay, any other comment? Let's move to Kalkin.
The Kalkin submission is on page 3 of our submission here. The next one on our document is actually free state. I'm just wondering whether we should go through that way in that order. Or the order that we had set out here, Chairperson, is in the order that was submitted to us on the 16th of October. That was the order that the committee went through.
I'll go to Kalkin.
Kalkin, the submission there is clause 39 and 40 dealing with the cancellation of operating license in rationalization of services effectively disallow the taxi industry to diversify its business and grow. Our response is that the clause 39 has been amended to remove the provisions allowing for cancellation of operating licenses. This was a matter that Santaco and other taxi operators had brought to our attention. Chapter 5 of the bill provides for integration of taxi services into the IRPTN.
We agree with that, Member. I thought we can go point by point as we originally agreed.
Chairperson, on clause 39, the heading still refers to cancellation, and that is a typographical error.
Agreed.
The submission is at clause 47 and 52. All operating licenses should be awarded as indefinite, considering that the permit or operating license is the actual business of the taxi operator. Attaching duration to it effectively conditions and dictates business prosperity of the operator because it will not be guaranteed that he or she will be awarded an operating license when it comes to the end of its lifespan. The response is that the existence of indefinite permits makes planning impossible and renders it impossible to manage and control the public transport system. It also frustrates efforts to rationalize the minibus taxi industry. The fact that the NLTK allowed for indefinite permits to be converted to indefinite operating licenses was seen as a transitional measure.
Do we agree on that one, or any comment? Agree? Let's move on. We must be fast.
Submission is that clause 54 allows for manipulation of the system by authorities, much to the detriment of taxi business. Intra-provincial licenses should be granted by provincial regulators as opposed to municipalities. Furthermore, inter-provincial licenses and services should be considered and granted by the national regulator as opposed to provinces. our response is that the strategy document that preceded the bill underlines the need for functions to be consolidated for the same sphere of government. Accordingly, it does provide for operating license function to be assigned by the minister to municipalities that are shown to have the necessary capacity. Other intra-provincial licenses will be dealt with by the provincial regulatory entities. All inter-provincial licenses will be dealt with by the National Public Transport Regulator. Here in Chairperson, for instance, in the case of Western Cape, if you look at that, if the function is assigned to the city of Cape Town, for instance, by the minister, in which case the operating license functions for the city of Cape Town or within the jurisdiction, the city will deal with that. All the rest of the provincial operating licenses would be dealt with by the province itself.
Thank you very much. Any comments? Agreed? Let's move.
Submission clause 56. Remove the 7-year period license validity. And the response is that this period has been extended from 5 years that was provided for in the NLTTA. As regards the issue of indefinite operating licenses, see the response above. So it was 5 years.
Agreed.
Submission clause 58. The scrapping allowance should be determined by the department in consultation with the taxi industry. The chairperson, the response here is that the scrapping allowance is beyond the scope of this bill. It would be then a money bill.
Agreed.
The submission is that clause 67. All taxi operating licenses should have a clause that provides for chartered services. Transport for special trips and occasion is arranged on an ad hoc basis where parties requiring such services engage taxis at ranks. This provision in the operating license will assist the operator in explaining the purpose of the trip outside the operational parameters. The National Taxi Task Team specifically recommended that the inclusion of chartered services automatically in all provinces should not be allowed. The bill, however, allows any operator to apply to the relevant entity for an operating license for charter services or to amend their operating license to include such a service.
Read.
The submission is at clause 79(3) and 4. This section is not in the best interest of the taxi business and should be removed because it gives government the authority to take control of routes and thereby withdraw permits without compensation for the operator. The response is that this clause only applies where an operating license is withdrawn because it was issued in error by the operating license board or it was issued based on false information.
Agreed.
Submission is that clause 81, accreditation should be indefinite. It is felt necessary to reevaluate the accreditation system that is being introduced for the tourism services every 5 years because proper systems were not in place to set up proper monitoring systems for all operators, and if over time it's found that it becomes unnecessary, the act will be amended in future to deal with that. It's a new system and therefore we're maintaining it that way. Clause 82(3). There needs to be a fixed procedure for an operator to obtain accreditation, and should be done to the National Public Transport Regulator. The response is that the bill provides for recommendations to be obtained from tourism bodies recognised by the minister. If they do not respond, the NPT thereof may proceed. So it is according to what the submission is.
Great.
Submission is that general clarity is required as to why a period of 5 years has been determined by the renewal for an operator's accreditation while a period of 7 years has been set for other services. The 7-year period applies to operating licenses. Accreditation is something completely different and there is no reason for the two periods to be the same.
Agreed.
Submission is that there should be no time limits for tourist services accreditation. However, there should be regular routine inspections to monitor compliance with standards. And that is similar response as what we had. It's the same as what was an earlier submission. It said accreditation should be indefinite, clause 81.
Agreed.
Consul Lunatel. Clause 6.66, wrong cross-referencing, and this will be corrected by the state law advisor.
Agreed.
Submission 8.1, amend the following. The minister may, after in consultation with MECs, the change would be inappropriate. The power to make regulations is always exercised by the relevant minister. The change would mean that any MEC would be able to hold a minister to ransom or particular regulation.
Agreed.
Clause 11.2, amend as follows: the minister may, in consultation with the MECs, assign any function contemplated in subsection. This would be unconstitutional. The constitution gives this power to the minister.
Agreed.
Submission clause 13, insert a sub-clause providing for a cooling period for officials and political office bearers when they leave office not to participate in the public transport industry in line with the national norms. The clause provides for 1 year cooling period.
Agreed.
Submission is the clause 13D, insert the following: officials directly involved in the management and execution of public transport related law enforcement and all public law enforcement agencies. And the response is that this is already covered in terms of the first part of paragraph D of the same clause.
Okay.
Submission clause 23.2, amend by providing for at least four or more officials from the provincial departments as determined by the MEC. And our response is that this is supported. The MEC can determine any number. Submission is that clause 49.2 be amended as follows: all operating licenses are not more than a 20% variance, in which case the submission is supported because it's a better wording.
Agreed.
Clause 53.1, the exclusion of courtesy vehicles introduces an inconsistency in the bill. Airport shuttle services require operating licenses, yet hotel shuttle services are excluded. We propose that both require operating licenses. Stakeholders are more or less equally divided as to whether they should require operating licenses or not. As a compromise, they will still not require operating licenses, but the minister will be able to regulate them by through regulations. The key distinction is that airport shuttle services are usually operated on a different basis. The passengers are charged directly, whereas the courtesy service is charged, it's an indirect charge through room fees.
Agreed.
Submission clause 81.1, it is proposed that tourist operators that operate exclusively in a province apply to the provincial regulatory entity, and those that operate within and across provincial boundaries must apply to the National Public Transport Regulator. This clause, the technical committee that was established between the Department of Transport, the Department of Environmental Affairs, and the tourism industry itself to discuss the issue of tourism transport, recommended that all tourist transport services should be dealt with by a single overarching national body, and hence we maintain that clause.
Agreed.
Submission is at clause 84.4. It is proposed that this clause be deleted. The regulator need not be involved in determining the equipment needed. Our response is that we agree on this matter. However, the general power to impose conditions should be retained.
Agreed.
The submission is that the memorandum on the objects of the bill is not so accurate to the bill. This will be corrected by the state law advisor.
Agreed.
The submission is that the Zulu version of the bill should be circulated for effective consultation. This is noted, and that version is being, I think,
agreed.
Limpopo. Here we have no submissions at this stage.
So to Mpumalanga.
Mpumalanga, the bill must not provide for, submission is that the bill must not provide for maximum validity period for of operating licenses, and that the operating license must remain indefinite. We disagree with this, and this matter was dealt with, I think it was under the Gauteng submission, we dealt with it over there.
Agreed.
Okay. Submission is government officials working on transport tenders must declare their interest, and that the responsible executive authority must monitor their involvement to ensure transparency and impartiality in the tendering process. This is already covered by other legislation.
Agreed.
Submission, government must not impound vehicles if a driver is found guilty of contravening the bill. Our response is that the impoundment was provided for in the 1977 Road Transportation Act and in the NRTTA, as well as various pieces of provincial legislation, and has proved to be an indispensable tool to promote public transport law enforcement.
Agreed.
Submission is that the bill must provide for automatic transfer of operating licenses to the spouse or immediate family member in cases where the holder of the operating license died. Furthermore, administrative fees relating to registration of the operating license must not be charged to the spouse or family member. A response is that transfer of an operating license can never be automatic because the transferee must be properly evaluated as a fit and proper person to transport the public. The bill provides for these transfers. Administrative fees must be charged, otherwise the cost involved would be borne by the general taxpayer.
Agreed.
Submission that the scrapping allowance of 50,000 must not be fixed. This is beyond the scope of the bill.
Agreed.
This is Northern Cape.
Yeah.
Submission is that clause 53C, which deals with exemptions, must be removed because farmers transport farm workers using trucks and buses. This issue is regulated in terms of the National Road Traffic Act.
Agreed.
Submission is that government should give retirement bonus of 100,000 taxi operators leaving the business. Response is that scrapping allowance is beyond the scope of this law. So.
Agreed.
Submission is that lift clubs must be regulated by the local traffic officers, so there is no guarantee as to the roadworthiness of such vehicles. Roadworthiness is regulated by the National Road Traffic Act.
Agreed.
Submission is that application for temporary licenses should be regulated in all the areas. A response it is by clause in terms of section 60 of the law.
Agreed.
Then the submission is the government must appoint more traffic officers to guarantee the safety of passengers. This is beyond the scope of this legislation.
Agreed.
The submission government must consider broadening narrow provincial roads. This is also not an issue for this bill.
Agreed.
The National Assembly must specify the type of transport in which learners are supposed to be transported to ensure the safety of learners. This is covered in the bill, for example, section 72 of the bill.
Agreed.
Submission, the prescribed period of operating license, which is 7 years, is not long enough. We had dealt with a previous submission from one of the other provinces.
Agreed.
Submission is that the National Assembly must counter irregularities which occur in the issuing of operating licenses. This is an administrative and implementation matter.
Agreed.
Submission is an institutional arrangement. Every municipality must have permit authority as well as testing stations, not just big municipalities. Our response is that operating license function can be assigned by the minister to any municipality, but the constitutional requirements will have to be met.
Agreed.
Submission is that propose a clause or measure to guard against the misuse of ambulances for public transport. This is a law enforcement matter.
Agreed.
The submission is that the long title of the bill should indicate the bill repeals the NCTA. This is agreed, and the state lawyer has a whole thing with that.
Agreed.
The submission is that the clause 24.2, a period should be determined within which the MEC must take the action mentioned, because the current wording as soon as possible after can cause lengthy delays, and our response is that experience has shown that determining fixed periods for this type of action is unwise, because it is difficult to foresee all eventualities in setting up this type of institution.
Agreed.
Submission is that relevant operating license boards need to be defined. The meaning is clear, that is the board for the MEC's province.
Agreed.
Clause 77, the reference to clause 67 seems incorrect. You can agree, and the clause reference will be corrected.
Agreed.
Submission is that the capacity of municipalities or planning authorities to comply with responsibilities and obligations bestowed in terms of this bill. Our response is that the minister has to assess capacity before assigning the functions, and this is in terms of the Systems Act as well.
Agreed.
Submission is that the memoranda on the bills have not been updated. This is the state law advisable to deal with that matter.
Agreed. No good.
The submission is that adapted light delivery vehicles to read the same in the Road Traffic Act. The term is not defined in the National Road Traffic Act or regulations.
Agreed.
Submission is that the bill is silent on the subsidization of minibus and minibus taxi type service. Provision and subsidies apply to all types of services, public transport services.
Agreed.
Submission is that the NLCTA caters for the formation of association and legal status thereof, but this bill is silent on the state of affairs. Associations, standard set of rules, example, constitution should be catered for. The response is that the National Land Transport Authority that preceded the bill recommended that association should not be regulated nationally anymore, that this was a transitional matter. However, provinces can still provide for standard constitution, etc., in the provincial legislation. Also, the board chairperson says that you know, it's against the constitution to allow to say that people have to be members of an association to be to obtain an operating license. Submission is that the NLTTA made provision for a provincial transport register and development of the registrar's administrative system, the RAS system, and the board is silent on this. See the comment above. Provincial legislation may provide for this. Clause 6 provides for the information contained in the registrar's administrative system to be incorporated in the operating license administrative system, the OLAS system.
Agreed.
The submission is that board is silent about the interests of law enforcement in the taxi business. Law enforcement officials and the immediate families should not own taxis. This is covered in terms of section 13 of the bill.
Agreed.
Submission, low class are a recipe for conflict as workers are carried for reward under the pretext of low class. There should be a clear distinction between private use and those operating for reward. The response is that there is a need to retain the concept of low class to accommodate workers who cannot afford their own vehicles and do not have ready access to public transport. Law enforcement will have to see that there are not abuses within the system.
Agreed.
Submission is that clause 53, exemptions for equal benefit from the South African economy, each entity must focus on its core business. For example, mining must focus on mining and hospitals should focus on medical. Services not related to the core businesses like transport should be outsourced to allow legitimate public transport operators to continue with their core business. This is noted, however, the stated exemptions are justifiable.
Agreed.
The submission is that the bill should provide for public transport months based on the promotion of relieving traffic congestion and reduction of pollution. This is beyond the scope of this bill.
Agreed.
Submission operating license should be issued to all mini and mini bus taxi types in accordance with the current recap. Clause 49 provides for this. The regulatory function should be limited to the provincial regulatory entity and not municipalities because they lack capacity and there is conflict of interest. Operating license boards and provincial transport registrars should be retained from impartiality. As for the capacity issues, we had responded earlier and we said this is done through the Systems Act and clause 13 deals with the conflict of interest.
Agreed.
Submission. Electronic fare collection is the tool of the public transport operator and should be owned and controlled by the service provider and operator. Intermodal electronic management system that is friendly to bank cards should be used. The response is that this is noted. This is an issue for the regulations. The public transport strategy and action plan proposes that authorities establishing the BRT system should use cross contracts where the authority will control fare collection.
Agreed.
The submission is the rationalization of mini and midi buses should be centralized at the provincial level for continuity purpose for taxi transformation. This will apply except in the case of interprovincial services and municipalities to which the operating license function has been assigned.
Agreed.
Submission is that historically disadvantaged operators should be given first preference on negotiated contracts. This is the case in terms of other legislation such as the B Act.
Agreed.
A municipality should not be given the power to issue operating licenses and we dealt with the previous submission.
Agreed.
The validity period of operating license should be indefinite and not valid for 7 years. This was dealt with previously as well.
Agreed.
Cross-border agencies should be incorporated into the national regulatory entity for uniform control purposes. This cannot be done because the Cross-Border Road Transport Act of 1980, South Africa has agreements with other neighboring countries that govern cross-border passenger transport, which means that it must be dealt with as part of a separate system.
Agreed.
Submission is that Scholar Transport Chapter 6, those regulations should be finalized before the Act comes into operation. This is noted. Certain regulations will be finalized before the Act can come into operation.
Agreed.
Western Cape. The submission is at clause 20 on page 18 in line 11. After department, insert all other appropriate persons selected by the minister. Response is that in terms of the above mentioned National Land Transport Strategy document, the NPTR should consist of officials in the department.
Agreed.
clause 23 on page 19 in line 14 after department to insert all other appropriate persons selected by the MEC. In terms of the strategy document, the provincial regulating entities should consist of officials in the relevant provincial department to counter problems of lack of coordination experience in the past between the operating license boards and their staff in the relevant department.
Agreed. Chairperson?
Can I just draw the attention that there's a page 2 missing and that's a free state?
Yes. That's what I have here on page 2 free state. That's what I have.
But it's missing here from our documents. So we haven't went through it. Yes, Chair? Start with Eastern Cape 1 and then the next is called Saint City West Eastern.
That
is why I asked the question about the response on the temporary licenses, which I got that very rude reply about cattle. I was trying to find that long response, and it's not on this page 3 in front of me, so it must have been on the page 2 in front of the gentleman.
Okay.
Maybe when responding, please.
Okay.
We don't need to rude remarks like cattle.
Okay. Let's listen to the free statement.
Chairperson, the submission is that buses must stop picking people where they are not allowed to do so. This is a law enforcement matter beyond the scope of this bill. Submission is that bus inspectors must even go to terminus so as to avoid overloading the buses. This is also beyond the scope of this bill.
Agreed.
The submission is that government must assist pirating people to get operating license for them to become legitimate. The response is that government has created two projects in this regard, the SLP, Special Legalization Project, and B Legal Campaign. The latter is still being completed in some provinces. Further efforts in this regard would be inappropriate.
Agreed.
The submission is that special trips must be granted to authority for them not to be penalized by the traffic officers. And the response is that Clause 60 provides for operators who hold permits or operating license to obtain temporary operating license for special events.
Agreed.
Submission is that municipalities must assist the community for approval of operating license. In terms of the bill, municipalities play an important role in relation to operating licenses and should assist potential operators who need assistance to obtain operating licenses.
Agreed.
The government must construct and maintain the road for smooth running of taxi operations. This is agreed, but beyond the scope of this bill.
Agreed. I think we have run through the 9 provinces. Is there anything from the side of the members? Honorable Lenford?
Yeah, Chairperson, I think we then have to make a very clear communication to provinces. To first of all apologize for bundling the process up. I think we also owe the department an apology because they paying more than they were supposed to, but they should pay the rent every time when we call them in. I'm not trying to say next time you must be defiant, but to say our systems couldn't work as it was supposed to be. Maybe also the issue of taking parliament to the people mess things up. But I think when we're consulting with procedural office, because the point was that we then have to formalize this kind of a thing and then send it back to provinces. And also, because also the committee section did apologize. One, I think we need to put this thing systematically. That one, it was not supposed that the responses from the department go directly to provinces without being processed formally by the committee. So that we put this thing clear and so on. And to acknowledge that they've done work and put effort, and they sent the final mandate. But so that we ensure that the process is done in the correct manner. That's why we're doing this, so that understanding should be there and so on, you see. In a way, it will also give those provinces who have not conducted public hearings to kind of do so. But we don't have much time, that must be indicated. So that by next week, we're saying if possible, let's finalize the bill. Yeah, it has got serious financial implications. If we can't pass it by the end of the year, if you look into some of the other key things, projects we need to undertake with regards to 2010 and so on. So I think that's what one would propose as a way forward, so that we, but in the future we will ensure that we don't repeat the same mistakes and all that stuff.
Thank you very much, Honourable Member. We must apologize on the side of the department. This is okay, but I'm glad those members who really came in so that we really start the marathon now than to postpone it to a later date. The memorandum of motion of desirability. Motion of desirability.
Sorry, Chair. It seems what you want to come with the progressive suggestion.
Okay, Chair, my question is, what are we sending the province? Are we going to send them the same document?
Yeah, obviously, we're sending the same document. These responses are responses according to how the provinces have compiled in their negotiating mandate. And I know that provinces would love to hear specifically what response did they get from the negotiating mandate. Whether it was a formulated amendment or not, if it was a comment, still they expect to receive a response. And this is what we have just done.
Then we're doing exactly what has been done. Then we might as well pass the final mandate. What I thought we'll do is that we now handle this document as a response to the responses and send that to the province. But if we're going to send the same document, then we might as well pass the final mandate and get done with it.
Okay, there's no problem, Honourable Member. Because this document we can go through is quickly. There's no problem at all. Yeah, this proposal amendment.
Yeah, Chair, I do get what Mr. Watson is saying.
Mm-hmm.
My question earlier on was that is there any difference between this document and this one? And my understanding was that this is a legalistic form which gives effect to this one.
Mm.
Are we agreed? Because then if that's the case, Mr. Watson is right. Because the point was that from a procedural point of view, we were just to ensure that all the processes from this side have been followed and so on. Because truthfully enough, you will still get the very same responses from provinces. There will be nothing which will give, which we may as well just in a minute or two agree upon and then pass it.
Yeah, I suppose that we pass it
on. Okay.
So
this will be the package then going to the provinces. The manner we Mr. Watson is putting it,
yeah.
Unfortunately, I can't second it because I'm from the same province. If there was another one,
yeah, from
if there was another province which second, then
okay, okay.
The Free State second, the Free State second. Now, is it fine?
Yeah.
Okay, then I can read the motion of desirability. The motion of desirability, according to B-51-B-2008, National Land Transport Bill, that in the opinion of the committee, legislation is desirable to provide for the process of transformation and restructuring the national land transport system initiated by the National Land Transport Transition Act of 2000, Act Number 22 of 2000, and to provide for matters connected therewith, and that the bill referred to that committee be taken as a basis. Agreed?
Agreed.
The report of the Select Committee on Public Services, the report of the Select Committee on Public Services on the National Land Transport Bill B-51-B-2008, National Assembly Section 76, dated 12 November 2008, the Select Committee on Public Services having consider the subject of the National Land Transport Bill B-51-B-2008, National Assembly Section 76, referred to it and classified by the JTM as a Section 76 bill, report the bill with amendment. With amendment. Agreed? Agreed.
I need to check if the quorum agrees that we adopt the bill, because what I see, we don't have a quorum.
Chairperson, when the meeting was starting, it was correcting.
Yeah, other members have just left.
Yeah, that's my understanding of the meeting. When was that correcting, even a conference? If that conference was correcting, you can still elect even if others have walked up.
But even so, please stay second with my proposal. Definitely, yeah. So, we are correct. And I think I've tried up to here now. I think we're done. But what I'd like to have clear is who's communicating all these things very clearly to the province.
The
legal advice
is. Sorry, these proposed amendments, Martin will put them on record.
Chairperson, I think we will need another version of the bill. Isn't it? We have the bill.
Yes.
With the amendment from the NEA. Now we incorporate these amendments from this meeting. Next week's meeting, we just specifically look at the version, then we allow the bill to pass. I think that procedure should be continued as normal.
Okay.
Mm. We don't go back to Malasi.
No.
No, we don't go back.
Then allow me then to thank you, department. These are the matters. But we thank you for your tolerance, members. Thank you for your guidance that we were able to achieve that. This meeting stand up again.
Yeah.
from the